hunting, mathematics and Newmarket, riot and racing. Yet it is a paradise compared with the eternal dullness of my mother's house at Southwell. Oh, the misery of doing nothing but make love, enemies and verses. I have got a new friend, the finest in the world, a tame bear. When I brought him here, they asked me what I meant to do with him, and my reply was he should sit for a fellowship. We have several parties here, and this evening a large assortment of jockeys, gamblers, boxers, authors, parsons sup with me. A precious mixture, but they go on well together. And for me, I am a spice of everything, except a jockey. By the by, I was dismounted again the other day. Doran Sattell, London, January the 21st, 1808. To Robert Dallas. You are so far correct in your conjecture that I am a member of the University of Cambridge, where I shall take my degree of AM this term. But were reasoning, eloquence, or virtue the objects of my search, Granta is not their metropolis, nor is the place of her situation an El Dorado, far less an utopia. The intellects of her children are as stagnant as her cam, and their pursuits limited to the church, not of Christ, but of the nearest benefice. As to my reading, I believe I may aver, without hyperbole, it has been tolerably extensive in the historical department, so that few nations exist or have existed with whose records I am not in some degree acquainted, from Herodotus down to Gibbon. Of the classics I know about as much as most schoolboys after a discipline of 13 years. Of the law of the land, as much as enables me to keep within the statute, to use Poacher's vocabulary. I did study the laws of nations, but when I saw them violated every month, I gave up my attempts at so useless an accomplishment. Of geography, I have seen more land on maps than I should wish to traverse on foot. Of mathematics, enough to give me the headache without clearing the part affected. Of philosophy, astronomy and metaphysics, more than I can comprehend. And of common sense, so little that I mean to leave a Byronian chair for the first discovery, though I rather fear that of the longitude will precede it. I once thought myself a philosopher, and talked nonsense with great decorum. I defied pain, and preached up equanimity. For some time this did very well, for no one was in pain for me but my friends, and none lost their patience but my hearers. At last, a fall from my horse convinced me bodily suffering was an evil, and the worst of an argument overset my maxims and my temper at the same moment. So I quitted my stoic attitudes, and conceived that pleasure constitutes the ne plus ultra. In morality, I prefer Confucius to the Ten Commandments, and Socrates to St. Paul, although the two latter agree in their opinion of marriage. In religion, I favour the Catholic emancipation, but do not acknowledge the Pope. And I have refused to take the sacrament because I do not think eating bread or drinking wine from the hand of an earthly vicar will make me an inheritor of heaven. I hold virtue, in general, or the virtues severally, to be only in disposition, each a feeling, not a principle. I believe truth, the prime attribute of the deity, and death an eternal sleep, at least of the body. You have here a brief compendium of the sentiments of the wicked George Lord Byron. And, till I get a new suit, you will perceive I am badly clothed. Newstead Abbey, August the 10th, 1811. To John Hobhouse. Some curse hangs over me and mine. My mother lies a corpse in this house. One of my best friends is drowned in a ditch. I had already received tidings of the death of Matthews, and from Matthews himself a letter dated the day before his death. He mentions you, and as it was perhaps the last he ever wrote, you will derive a poor consolation from hearing that he spoke of you with that affectionate familiarity, so much more pleasing from those we love than the highest encomiums of the world. My dwelling, you already know, is a house of mourning, and I am really so much bewildered with the different shocks I have sustained that I can hardly reduce myself to reason by the most frivolous occupations. There is to me something so incomprehensible in death that I can neither speak nor think